So we've chosen a verse this morning that is not from Chaitanya Charitamrita or from the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is actually from Prem Bhakti Chandrika, which is one of Narottam Das Thakur's many exalted writings. And this is from chapter 7, which is the characteristic of an unalloyed devotee. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shishi Gorni Tai ki jai, His Grace Vishwambar Prabhu ki jai. So we'll chant the invocation together. I'm going to chant the Chaitanya Charitamrita invocation, since Narottam Das Thakur was, he was associated with both Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, but specifically Chaitanya Leela, and also that is the meter of this verse.
Radha Krishna Kananjan Swapne Na Bala Ana Prema Bina Ana Nahi Chanu. Radha Krishna Karanjana Swapane Na Bala Ana Prema Bina Ana Nahi Chanu. Jugala Kishora Prema Laksha Bana Jena Hema Arati Pariti Rasa Dhyana. Jugala Kishora Prema Laksha Bana Jena Hema Arati Pariti Rasa Dhyana.
Okay, so translation of this verse, which is Prem Bhakti Chandrika, chapter 7, text number 1. I will meditate on Radha and Krishna. I will not speak any other topics, even in my dreams. I will not hanker for anything else except loving service to the divine youthful couple. The loving sentiments of Radha and Krishna are like gold refined a million times. Therefore, O my mind, please constantly meditate on Radha and Krishna as your only lovable object. And then Narottam Das Thakur also has given a short purport. O my mind, because you have been in a miserable condition, now start meditating on that which has the nature of priti shuka, the happiness of love. Jai Srila Narottam Das Thakur ki jai.
Om Aganatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram militangena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya manobishtam stapitam gena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam vandeham shri gurun shri yuta parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sarvetam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Brindavanishwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara. Shiva Zaddi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Radha Krishna Karandhyana, Swapane Nabala Ana, Prema Bina Ana Nahi Chanu. Also in this translation, it's not Chau, it's Chanu, but it can be pronounced differently in Bengali. Jugala Kishora Prema Laksha Bana Jena Hema Arati Pariti Rasa Jana. Again, not Jau, it's Jana. Anyway, that's what I get for choosing a difficult verse, I guess. Not the normal. I'll read the translation again because it's very beautiful. I will meditate on Radha and Krishna. I will not speak about any other topics, even in my dreams. I will not hanker for anything else except loving service to the divine youthful couple. The loving sentiments of Radha and Krishna are like gold refined a million times. Therefore, O my mind, please constantly meditate on Radha and Krishna as your only lovable object. So we can see from this that Narottam Das Thakur is very much absorbed to write a prayer like this. In one sense, we might say it's easy. Maybe not. You have to have some level of extreme sincerity to write something down like this. What to speak of if you actually mean it. And even more so if you try to live it. That somehow or other your constant meditation is just simply the divine couple and engaging in their eternal service. So once Jagannath Das Babaji was asked, Babaji Maharaj, where can I find love of Godhead? Where can I get this prema bhakti? And Jagannath Das Babaji said, oh, it's very difficult. Is that what he said? No, it's not what he said. He said, actually, love of Godhead is very cheap. He said, you can get it for 4 rupees down in the market. Just 4 rupees, you can pick up love of Godhead. He said, all you have to do is purchase 2 books. One of them is Prarthana by Narottam Das Thakur, and the other is Prema Bhakti Chandrika. So I was looking for my copy of Prema Bhakti Chandrika, but I think I lent it to someone. You know how that goes, right? I couldn't find it. So maybe that explains why I'm still not experiencing love of Godhead. So I've got 4 rupees. If anyone has a copy, I'm happy to pay. Also, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that to attain perfection in life, one must know, practice, and realize the teachings within 3 books. Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Srimad Bhagavatam, right? No, that's not what he said, actually. He said Prarthana, Prema Bhakti Chandrika, and Upadeshamrita. So he said, if you want to attain perfection in life, one must know, practice, and realize the teachings within these 3 books. And our own Srila Prabhupada said that you should read Narottam Das Thakur's Prarthana because by reading it, you can understand Krishna. Otherwise, it is very difficult to understand Krishna. in his book, The Living Name, Sachinandan Maharaj also recommends to try to enter into a mood of separation that we can read these prayers by Srila Narottam Das Thakur and also by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, but like that. So this Prem Bhakti Chandrika, literally it means the rays of the moonlight of loving devotional service to Lord Krishna. The rays of the moonlight of loving devotional service
to Lord Krishna. And prarthana can have many different meanings. Prayers of petition is the way that it's sometimes translated. But pra is to request. And another meaning is adoration or respect. And it can be separated as either prar and dana, which would mean that one is requesting dan, wealth, pradana. Or it can be pra, arda, and na, which means meaning to ask or seeking wealth. So another meaning of arta can also be distress, suffering, or pain. So if you put all these together, you can see that this mood of requesting dana, which would be the supreme love of Krishna, can also cause great pain, can cause great separation. And it reminded me, as I was reading through these, that there was a point, which maybe I've told this here before, but one young lady who had just joined the temple, and she was reading Krishna book, because that's the book she got on the street. And she was from, not from England, but also not from India. And she came to me after a Sunday feast lecture. I was doing questions and answers. And she said, Prabhu, can I ask you a question? And I said, yeah, great. And she waited till after everyone had left. And she said, I'm reading this book. And she pulled out Krishna book. And I said, oh, that's amazing. That's wonderful. She said, yeah, but I've gotten to this chapter. It's called Rasalila. And then she opened the book to the Rasalila chapter. And I was like, oh, great. This is going to be a powerful question. And she said, so I just want to know if I've understood correctly. Because Srila Prabhupada explains in here that the gopis were so in love with Krishna and they were dancing with him, but then he left their company and they fell into a mood of separation. And in that mood, they fell into this mood of desperate longing to be with him. And it was almost like a depression. And she said, so am I to understand that the goal of chanting Hare Krishna is to come to a point where I'm completely desperate to attain Krishna and feel almost depressed? And I thought, yeah, that's probably it, actually. So it's quite an ironic thing. And Srila Prabhupada describes that tasting Krishna prema is like drinking hot sugarcane juice. That it's so hot that you can barely stand to have it in your mouth, but it is so sweet that you just can't stop drinking it. Now, I haven't necessarily experienced this myself most of the time because I'm still jaundiced. It all tastes very, very bitter. But once we come to the point of really tasting and relishing, then like Rupa Goswami prays, we want thousands of ears and thousands of mouths just to chant the holy name so that we can become so absorbed. And if you've ever chanted a 64 round day or more, some devotees describe, I've experienced a little bit, that once you get past a certain point, I think it's around the 32 mark, once you pass that, it's like the mind starts to give up, which is a glorious situation. And the mind just says, geez, this guy is not going to stop. I give up. And then the holy name starts to take over. And it's no longer like you're chanting the holy name. It's almost, the only way I can describe it is, it's as if the holy name is chanting you. And your tongue is just going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Nam, Hare Nam. And even if you try to grab hold of your tongue, it'd still be going, and you'd just be going. And I think this must be somewhat like it, what it must be to come to the point of where Narottam Das Thakur is. So my Guru Maharaj gave a lecture once when they went for yatra to Kateri, and he spoke for 6 hours on the pastimes of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. So I thought I would try to do that in 25 minutes. So just to point out that the glories of Srila Narottam Das Thakur are really unlimited. So many of our acharyas have spoken the importance of this great personality, and he appeared on the full moon day in the month of Magh, which I was surprised to realized, and I spoke this to one devotee earlier, and they also weren't aware, but today is Sri Krishna Madhura Utsav. Anyone knows that? A few people are like, kind of, you know, like a little bit, yeah. No. Most people are like, what are you talking about? So today, the Purnima in the month of Magh is also very auspicious, and it's actually the Vasant, that means the spring Ras Leela. So this is the time of Ras Leela in the spring. So evidently, generally, we worship like Sharadi Purnima during Kartik, and in Vrindavan, that's when they worship. But in Bengal, evidently today is a more worshipped and recognized day for the Ras Leela. And actually, everyone wears yellow because, you know, on Vasant Panchami, everyone wears, the first day of spring, everyone's wearing yellow, the deities are wearing yellow. So it's a whole big thing. So that was something I learned today. And when I came to before the deities, I thought, oh, they know, because they're decorated so beautifully, and they're wearing, you know, the holy names on the dresses, and so very beautiful. So from his appearance in this world, Narottam Das Thakur had a taste for hearing and chanting, and longed to be in the association of great souls. It's described that at 6 months, when he had his Annaprasanna ceremony, his first grains, that his father, Krishna Nanda Datta, was trying to feed him the grains, and he kept refusing. He wouldn't take the grains. And then a Brahmin came in, and this Brahmin had just offered some bhoga to his deity, and he said, let me try. And he went to him with this prasad grains, and Narottam Das Thakur reached out and grabbed the grains and put them in his mouth. So, you know, the understanding is that even from that young age, he was not inclined to eat anything that wasn't offered to Krishna. So, the pastime of Narottam Das Thakur doesn't actually start with his appearance. It starts before that. It starts with the pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was doing Sankirtan along the Padma River. Often everywhere I heard it was kept being referred to as the Padmavati. So like that, but when you look on a map, the Padma River joins, I think, the Ganga and empties into the Bay of Bengal. And he was doing this Harinam Sankirtan, and all of a sudden Lord Chaitanya stopped and he went into ecstasy, and he started shouting out, Narottam! Narottam! And he was calling this name, Narottam! And all the devotees who were there, Lord Nityananda was there, and so many of the other intimate associates, and they were wondering, what is going on here? And Lord Nityananda went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he said, Mahaprabhu, what is this Narottam? You're calling out Narottam. You don't have any associates named Narottam. And he said, in the future, there will be a great personality who will come, and he will continue the Sankirtan mission. In fact, he will push it forward immensely, and his name will be Narottam. And then he said to Lord Nityananda that, you know, once when we were doing Kirtan in Jagannath Puri, you began to cry tears of ecstasy, and I picked up those tears of ecstasy, those tears of prema, and I have saved them, and now I'm going to give them to Padmavati, the personification of the Padma River, and I'm going to ask her to deliver those tears of prema bhakti to Narottam Das Thakur. And so it's described that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to the Padma River, and he began to offer prayers, and Padmavati Devi, the personification of the river, she came forward, and she asked, how can I serve you? And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, I have this pot that is filled with pure prema, and I want you to keep this and deliver it to my devotee Narottam when he comes. And she said, but so many people come to bathe in my waters. How will I know who this Narottam is? And she said, Lord Chaitanya said, you'll know, because as soon as he enters into your waters, you'll begin to overflow with ecstasy, just like you did when I came. So when you experience that, you know that this is Narottam, and you should come forward and give this to him. So in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu planted the seeds of the forthcoming of Narottam Das Thakur. So Narottam Das Thakur, he took his birth in a place called Khetri. Khetri Gram, we often hear. Very wonderful place. And his father is Krishnananda Datta and his mother Narayani Datta. And they were actually zamindars. So zamindars are basically like landholders, but they're treated as good as like kings of a region. So they own all the land of a region and they collect all the taxes and they are supposed to look after everyone. So in actual fact, Narottam Das Thakur was born into immense wealth and had immense opportunity to engage in sense gratification. But as he was growing up, he really only had a taste for hearing and chanting the names of the Lord. And there was one Brahmin named Krishna Das who used to come and chant on the order of Krishnananda Das. He used to come and recite pastimes to Narottam Das Thakur. And Narottam Das Thakur, even as a young man, 8, 9, 10, would just sit and relish the pastimes again and again and again. And his inclination to hearing just went on increasing. And this Krishna Das, he began to tell Narottam Das Thakur about Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. And Narottam Das Thakur just started to develop this longing to meet these personalities. So much so that it's described that actually he would chant japa, Gauranitai, 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 Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga, Nitai Gauranga, and just chant their holy names all day, just like that. Like it says, you know, you have to call out like a child cries for its mother, or in this case, at his father. But like this, he developed such a taste. Then at the age of around 12, Lord Nityananda... Shirade. Then at the age of 12, Lord Nityananda appeared to him in a dream. I won't ask if anyone here has had a dream with Lord Nityananda in it, but Lord Nityananda appeared in his dream, very special thing, and he told him, you should go to the bank of the Padma River and take bath, and you will be met there by an exalted personality who will give you a great gift. Now, I left out that when he was born, the astrologer came and did his astrological chart. And the astrologer said his chart is so completely auspicious. Everything in it is auspicious. But there's one concern. Don't ever let him take bath in a large body of water. Because if you do, he'll become sick and go mad. So in that way, up until the age of 12, they never let him go and take bath in the Padma River. But after Lord Nityananda appeared in his dream, he snuck out and went to take bath in the Padma River. And when he did, as soon as he put his foot, his lotus feet, into the Padma River started to swell. And then Padmavati Devi knew, finally, Narottam has come. And so she manifested before Narottam Das Thakur and she offered her obeisances and she said, I have a gift for you from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and that gift is pure prema. And she offered this Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shri Shri Gauranitai Ki. And then it's described that after she offered him this pure prema, he became completely intoxicated, even more than he already was. And when he went back to the house, he didn't want anything to do with school. He didn't want anything to do, I mean, many of us don't want anything to, didn't want anything to do with school, but it wasn't because of prema, at least not for me. But, you know, he didn't want anything to do with anything. He just wanted to hear and chant. And all he wanted to do was go and find Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And so his parents tried to deal with this for a long time. And they knew that he's going to leave home. So they posted guards at his door. They more or less locked him in his room and didn't want him to leave. But then at the age of around 15 or 16, he had another dream. And in this dream, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, the time has come, Narottam, and I want you now to go to Vrindavan. And in Vrindavan, you'll meet an exalted personality. He is my very dear associate, and his name is Lokanath Goswami. And I want you to take initiation from him. So, it's described in different ways, but somehow or other, Narottam Das Thakur snuck out of the house and made his way all the way from Khetri, which is, you know, now in Bangladesh, but used to be in Bengal and Bangladesh, all the way to Vrindavan. Now, he didn't get a plane, he didn't get a train, he didn't get a bus, and he didn't get an Uber. He had to walk all the way, and that is not a short walk, and it took a very long time. But eventually, there are many things that happen in between, but in the name of time, I'll skip over all of those. He arrived in Vrindavan, and when he arrived in Vrindavan, he found out that Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswamis had basically already departed from this world. And he had heard about them from Krishna Das, the Brahmin who used to speak to him. So he was overwhelmed with separation and desperation. But then he was introduced by a Brahmin who had met him along the way. He was introduced to Lokanath Goswami. And as soon as he saw Lokanath Goswami, he immediately offered his prostrated obeisances, began offering prayers, and he said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed me to take initiation from you. And I've traveled all this way simply to receive diksha from you and take shelter at your lotus feet. But there was a problem. Lokanath Goswami was, although he was one of the first devotees that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had actually sent to Vrindavan, before he sent Rupa, before he sent Sanatan, he sent Lokanath Goswami and Bhargava Goswami. And they went to establish temples. And he actually established the Radhasham Sundar temple. I think it is Radhasham Sundar. Yeah. Oh, there it is. Oh, no, it was the Radhagokulananda temple. He actually established the Radhagokulananda temple, which was later built by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. But he was what's called a Viviktanandi Vaishnava, which meant that he wanted to perform his worship in a solitary place. So that's kind of a little bit about Lokanath Goswami. There's a lot more, but we're going to skip that. So he had taken a vow, Lokanath Goswami, that he would never accept any disciples. So even though he could see the sincerity of Narottam Das Thakur, but he said, I'm not your guru, I can't be your guru, because I won't accept any disciples. So Narottam Das Thakur was heartbroken. He was thinking, I've traveled all this way, it was the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what am I to do? So he thought, I have to do the only thing that you can do. I have to render menial service to this exalted Vaishnava. And this is famous, the way that he rendered service to capture the heart of his spiritual master, is that in those days, inside of your bhajan kutir, there was no toilet to flush or, you know, get rid of the stuff. So you would have to go out beside a river somewhere, do your business, and then take bath, and then go on about your day. So Narottam Das Thakur found out where it was that Lokanath Goswami would go to do his business. And he used to hide there and wait till after Lokanath Goswami would do his business, have his bath and leave. And then he would clear up the place. He would clear away the stuff that he had left behind and make it really nice. He would even put soft leaves nearby for him to, you know, be cushioned on and clean up. He would just make the place so neat and tidy. And after a few days, Lokanath Goswami was like, what's going on here? There's some strange phenomena is happening. And so he became intrigued to understand what is going on. So he went early one morning, or he stayed late one night chanting japa all night long, hiding in the bushes, just to see what's going to happen here. And he saw Narottam Das Thakur come, and with his broom, cleaning up his stuff and making the place neat and tidy. And then Narottam Das would embrace the broom and glorify the broom and say that you are giving me access to the topmost possibility of loving service to my spiritual master. And he wasn't just like, oh God, why I got to clean this? Like anyone here has to clean the bathroom, any brahmacharis, you know, you got bathroom duty and you're like, you hate it, right? But you got to love it. You got to think, what an opportunity to serve the Vaishnavas. And anyway, we could get into detail. I'll do that in a brahmachari class one day. But yeah, you should learn to love to clean up the ladies also, I guess, right? Actually, Lokanath Goswami came out and started chastising him. What are you doing? You're the son of like a king, a zamindar, and here you are cleaning up my mess. What are you doing? And he just began to cry and weep. And he said, I just want to serve you. I just want you to accept me as your disciple. And he was so sincere that Lokanath Goswami just became overwhelmed and he accepted him. And he initiated him, and he was his only disciple. Otherwise, Lokanath Goswami didn't have any others. So he stayed there in Vrindavan for some time. And Lokanath Goswami instructed him, because Lokanath Goswami was more of a solitary, kind of a bhajananandi personality. So he said, the best thing for you to do is go and take shiksha from Jiva Goswami. And by that time, Jiva Goswami, because Rupa and Sanatan had left, and Jiva Goswami had more or less become the, leader of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas there in Vrindavan. And he had opened up a school where he was guiding and teaching the next generation of great souls. And he had these two especially superstars in his class. One was called Duki Krishna, and the other was called Srinivas. And when Lokanath Goswami encouraged Narottam Das to go there, then he went and begged entrance, and Jiva Goswami immediately recognized that this is another exalted personality. And it's described that these three personalities, they became such good friends. Actually, their relationship, they bonded so deeply. And that relationship is something that kind of kept them strong throughout their spiritual life. So after some years of teaching, Jiva Goswami kind of graduated them, and they wound up with the names Shamananda and Srinivasacharya and Narottam Das Thakur. Also by that time, I think it was that he started to be called Sri Thakur Mahasai. Sri Thakur Mahasai. And Jiva Goswami gave them a mission. And we know this was the first Sankirtan party, the first book distribution party, because Jiva Goswami had been compiling and the translations of Rupa Goswami and Sanat Goswami's teachings. And it's described that actually they had just amassed a huge amount of, we say books, but it was more like handwritten, paper. We can't even imagine. Actually, I think recently there was some video going around, wasn't it? Indrajumna Maharaj, who was looking at an original copy of, what was it, Chaitanya Charitamrita, I think. So he ordered these three devotees, you should take all these books and you should go and you should distribute them. And he was sending them towards, I think, Bangladesh, towards Kateri area. And this was a huge ask for them. They were young men and they were not really so expert and prepared, but they just took up the order from Jiva Goswami like without any problem. And they went, and of course it's a long story, but there was one king, Biranbir, I think was his name, King Biranbir. And he had this group of dacoits who used to, catch people on the roads and steal their stuff. And he had heard that there was this procession coming, and there was a big trunk full of stuff, and he thought it was treasure. So it was the treasure, the greatest treasure. So he's had the book stolen. So at that point, those three devotees split up, and Srinivasacharya went to deal with Biranbir and try to get the books back. And Shamananda went to Utkar, and then Narottam Das Thakur went on to Kateri, because Lokanath Goswami had also told him later, you should go back to Kateri Gram and you should preach there, because you have so much influence because your father was a great zamindar, because you come from aristocracy, people will naturally respect you and accept you, and people will look up to you, and it'll be very easy for you to bring them closer and advance in Krishna consciousness. So that's what he did. And en route to Kethari, he went to Mayapur, and he spent time with devotees in Mayapur. Then he went to Jagannath Puri, and he spent time with devotees in Jagannath Puri. And along the way, he also met with Janava Devi and he just met so many devotees. Anyway, there's lots of things. I'm just trying to skip over it because I'm basically out of time. So then he found his way back to Kethari Gram, and there was one, his cousin Santosh, he had become the new zamindar because his father had passed and his uncle had passed. So he was the new zamindar, and he had heard Narottam was coming, and so he went and greeted him, and they had this huge festival. And then he said, "I've been wanting to build the temple for so many years. Now you've come. Shall we build the temple?" And he said, "Yes." So they built this huge temple. And they started building the temple, and the temple was going to be finished, and they planned to open the temple on Gaur Purnima. So Narottam Das Thakur said, "We should have a huge festival to celebrate Gaur Purnima." And this was the first big Gaur Purnima festival in Kethari Gram. And Sri Janava Mata, she came, and she presided over the entire event, and all the Vaishnavas, they all came, and it's described that they had this festival that went on for like 3-4 days. The first day was just kirtan all night. They were having such ecstatic kirtan. Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, Rupan Sanat, and all these exalted persons, they all appeared and were in the kirtan. And the kirtan went on, and all of a sudden it was Mangalarti time. And they were all like, "Wow." And they went to the temple and had Mangalarti. Then they took bath and continued with the kirtan. And it just kept going on for like 3 days, and they were serving these big feasts, and that was really amazing. So after this, Narottam Das Thakur also performed many other pastimes and in Kethari, and he basically converted the whole region to Gaudiya Vaishnavism. And then he eventually went back to Vrindavan in old age. And when he got to Vrindavan, he was overwhelmed with the fact that even Jiva Goswami had now left, and Srinivasacharya had left at that point, I think the year before. And so it's described that he called all the devotees together and said, "We should have big kirtan." And he said, "I want the kirtan to resound in all four directions so that people all over the, you know, all over the Braj district will hear it." And they went down to the river, and Narottam Das Thakur entered into the river, and he had two devotees pouring water over him. And as they poured water over him, it's described that he just disappeared into the river. And that was the end of it. Some places they say that as they were pouring water on him, white cream started to flow, and actually he turned into like liquid milk and just floated down the river. Narottam Das Thakur can do whatever he likes, you know. So to that extent, there's also little samadhi there that's called Dud Samadhi or something like that, because they said Dud means milk, right? I think in Hindi or something like that. So anyway, I'm 1 minute over, but I did my best to finish on time. Hare Krishna. Srila Narottam Das Thakur ki jai. I think he's really excited I finished on time, right? So that's it. Be finished. Is there questions now, or that's time for questions? Anyone has a question or reflection or a chastisement or correction?
Hare Krishna Puru. So I remember reading the book on stories of Narottam Das Thakur by Sita Sita Sitavali or something. Sitapati. This devotee wrote a book And she talks about he had two disciples.
Sitala, by Sitala Mataji. Yeah.
And then he had two disciples. And then what happened with them? Like, you don't hear much about.
He had more than two disciples. He had many disciples, but I think you probably mean, I forget the names.
Ram something.
Ram. Yeah, Ramchandra Kaviraj, because that's mentioned in one of the songs also, Ramchandra Kaviraj, and I think it's Ganga something, I can't remember, I have it in my notes. I'm not so sure. I mean, they went on, they carried on after he left. They stayed in Kateri when he went back to Vrindavan, as far as I understand. And they continued the preaching. But yeah, I haven't really heard or read much about either of those two. It sounds like a nice thing to look into and try to find out.
Yeah, it's interesting because often what happens is like we try and follow the trail, right? And sometimes it's like, yeah, it's hard to know what's the next, what happened next.
What happened? Yeah. Yeah, but they continued to preach and make devotees and things like that. But I'm not sure exact pastimes. And obviously, it's like that, you know, exalted persons come, and then other exalted persons come, and then it slowly gets down, and then Krishna will send another exalted person to lift it up and keep things going like that. So, yeah. Hare Krishna. Anyone else? Anything?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for a wonderful class. Just a clarification, not clarification, or completion rather. That you mentioned three books, Prarthana, Prema Bhakti Chandrika, and then there was a third book.
Upadeshamrita.
And you mentioned that the Prarthana, obviously the translation is direct, rays of moonlight of the loving devotion service of Radha and Krishna, and Prema Bhakti Chandrika, prayers of petition.
No, it was the other way around.
Other way around, okay. And the third one? Like the
no, I only gave the definition of those two. The third one is nectar of instruction. Upadeshamrita.
Sorry, yes. Thank you.
Which is quite surprising in one sense, or not, if you've actually really dove into Upadeshamrita. If you read also Bhakti Aloka by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he really gives some ecstatic commentary on it. And nectar of instruction is just like this. Little book, so unassuming, you know, you got the whole Bhagavatam, even you got Nectar of Devotion, it's this big, but Nectar of Instruction, you think, oh yeah, it's such a beginner's book, you know, we did that on the Bhakti Shastri. Meanwhile, it's described that that book takes you from from Shraddha to Prem, and what is it, 10 verses, like that, so it's, I mean, it takes you to the highest levels of understanding, you know, the love for Krishna, pure prema bhakti. So it's very powerful. But he didn't just say you have to read them. He said you have to, what did he say? You have to learn them, know them, and realize them. The last of which is usually the most difficult, right? Realization. So, like that. Does that answer your question? Okay. Anything else? Okay, wonderful. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. It was, they say that the speaker is actually the person who benefits the most from speaking, and I would say definitely by spending time studying Narottam Das Thakur, I've been greatly benefited. So I thank you for benedicting me in this way. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Narottam Das Thakur ki jai. Nantakoti Vaishnavrinda ki jai. Natai Gopremanandi. Hare Krishna.